About. It's our weekly catch-up with the National Party's Denise Lee.
Hello, Denise.
Hey, kia ora too. How are you doing?
I'm good. I hope you can hear me. We've been having some troubles with the mic since the start of the show, but yeah, I'm doing okay. How are you?
You're all good. You're coming through crystal clear, so ready to go, and you're doing well.
Fantastic. I would like to start the show off by asking about National's new education discussion paper, and I just want to know what does that mean? What is it sort of outlining?
And what's a discussion paper, right?
So yes. What is a discussion paper actually?
Well, we've put out six of them. So we've had ones like the economy, social services, the environment, and this week we put out education. So it's pretty grunty, 65 plus pages covering massive topics on early childhood, primary, secondary, tertiary, how to fund education for New Zealanders. So there's a lot in it. I think that it's kicked off a really good discussion, and that's exactly what we want. Not everything in there will we be able to do or even want to do once we've heard from everyone, but at least we're demonstrating that we're across the topics and we genuinely want to hear from New Zealanders because, after all, they're the ones that have got to interface with education and get those skills ready for an awesome life.
Do you think you could go into some of the specific things that National are proposing, just around some specific sort of examples of what is on the actual discussion paper, please?
Yeah, sure. So maybe if I could just start with a couple of early childhood stuff for those who are interested in that. So, for instance, in early childhood education for preschools and kindies and stuff like that, we're proposing spot checks. So we already know that there's a lot of regulations in place, but some providers, unfortunately, aren't so great. But if there was more monitoring and spot checks, then maybe parents might feel a little bit more comfortable about having an amazing service for their children. We're looking at reducing class sizes in primary schools. We know international evidence supports that, which means, of course, then we've got to tackle training more teachers and improving workforce planning, teacher supply. And that is a task that we do want to tackle too. We're looking at we're able to talk about the ratios in terms of reducing class sizes. We cover tertiary, and I'm going to get to the big one, which I think you may be interested in, that's fees-free. But we're also looking at the government's planned merging of all 16 polytechs, because we think it's unnecessary centralisation and control. And it would look, just quite frankly, one size doesn't fit all in education, does it too? People don't learn the same way. Now, fees-free, shall we head on to that?
Yes, I'd like to touch on that briefly, yeah?
Yeah, so fees-free, we are saying, is an expensive failure because it actually is. 80,000 students were forecast to take it up. 50 did, 5-0. So that's 30,000 less than what was forecast to take up the scheme. So it costs New Zealanders a huge amount each year. But we're saying that we would reinvest those funds into other ways of getting students supported, whether it be an education saver scheme, such as Singapore's got, or doing fees-free on your final year of study if you complete it. So an incentive to pass. We're also looking at student loan write-offs, trying to get New Zealanders' gauge on whether that's a better way to handle things. Additional payment for living costs, is that a better way that people want to tackle things? Or even changing repayment rates for student loan schemes?
Some of the policies that you just mentioned, I actually agree with. It's all well and good, and it's sort of difficult to find any fault with some of the propositions. But I'd like to know what the roadmap is on how you're going to implement them, seeing as a lot of the language is very vague. And I've got an example. For example, smaller class sizes. Is the National Party prepared to put a number on that? And also, you say you will invest to ensure children with complex needs are supported. So how much sort of support are we talking here? What can you get into some specifics behind that?
Sure. So on for reducing class sizes, I'll just go to that one too for primary. Year one, we'd say, would remain at one teacher to 15 students. Years two and three would drop, because right now it's 1 to 23, we'd take it down to 1 to 20. Years four, five and six, we'd take it from 1 to 29 to 1 to 25. So we're putting in benchmarks there and are prepared to go for it. The other, sorry, what was that second leg of your question?
The second leg was just, I'm quoting from the press release.
It says
to invest, yeah, to invest in children with complex needs.
Yeah, so we know that that's a massive growing problem as we're increasingly accepting and aware of, say, particularly different mental health challenges or behavioural challenges or disability-related things. As we become more and more aware of these different challenges that students and parents have, we want to engage and do what we can. So, for instance, in secondary schools, and I know all about this because there's a fantastic example of it in my local One Tree Hill College, where you've got whole teams that are together in a one space, a one-stop shop space, where you can interface as a student with GP, nurse, guidance counsellors, all working together, all sharing information to make sure that students are safe and are looked after. So there's a whole lot more detail around that, but we know when it comes to complex needs and children of any age who deal with that and their families, that not everyone learns the same, and we need to learn to adapt to that.
I'd like to move on to another part of the discussion that I picked out, where it says, you know, better management and investment in education infrastructure. What does that mean? Is that sort of code for treating like an education or a school like a business?
No, look, that's just really referring to the whole big property issue too. So we know school buildings are in a terrible state in many parts of the country, and that poor old principals and school boards and so on have to be multitaskers dealing with property and infrastructure and stuff that they're not really trained for. So we need to be very careful and deliberate about how we first identify the scale of the problem and then fund infrastructure development.
I'd like to move on to our next topic, which is next year's referendum. And I specifically want to talk about some comments that Nick Smith put out. He said that, you know, the referendum, or the, I believe some the referendum anyway, it's manipulating the government, rather, is manipulating the rules to satisfy New Zealand First and the Greens and get the referendum results it wants. Could you talk through the National Party's criticism of the referendum process, particularly around some of the comments that Nick Smith made?
Yeah, well, we're really hot on this topic because what has happened is this, well, basically a dangerous precedent. We have never, ever, since 1853, put together referendum the way that this government is. It has always been a collaborative partnership process between parties and Parliament. Since 1853, this is the first time ever that the government has and is ramming through a bill to come up with wording and come up with the mechanics for a referendum next year. And of course, they'll use their numbers in Parliament, they are the government, and they'll just take it through, and we're not going to be able to have the collaborative partnership say that you normally do. And some people may just go, oh, well, come on, Denise, you know, that they are, after all, putting a bill through Parliament. But it's something they can do using their numbers, and we don't have any input into what the final say will be. It's kind of contrary to a fair and a free elections process, and even the government's own officials said that in their reports. So we are totally opposing this bill, which sets up the multiple referendums next year. And we're saying that it's kind of like an abuse of power that they're doing it this way. It's weird.
Do you think that if it is put to a referendum, does it not then make it sort of more democratic?
Well, I guess, you know, people might have different opinions on that depending on what the topic is. So right now we know we've got cannabis going out for referendum and we've got euthanasia. I would, depending on what the topic is, I'd have a different opinion. But let me just take euthanasia because, you know, that was recently, this week, the final vote. I opposed it going out on referenda because, too, I feel on this topic I was elected to work hard to do the job of understanding the complexity. And, boy, you could not get more complex than literally a life and death issue and a life and death topic. And so there has been hundreds of different amendments to the bill different opinions and movements and opinion. And for the public to then get it reduced down to one question, I just think it's going to be real tough. Real tough. I think I'm elected to do a job and to work hard, and I've spent hours and hours and hours on it, and yet New Zealand First waltzes in with their nine numbers and say, hey, you know, David Seymour will do you a deal, send it out to referendum, and you've got our block vote. That just doesn't seem right to me.
I'd like to move on to our last topic briefly, which is the Owaidaka tree removals. And all of the protests have sort of erupted around it. What do you think about the issue as a whole?
Well, you know, I mean, credit where credit's due. The Tupuna Māori Authority have definitely, so they're the ones that you know, co-govern the different Māori around Auckland. You know, they've gone out with their management plan and they've held hui and so on. But I guess when push comes to shove and people are seeing that there is hundreds of non-native trees being removed, you know, look, I've got to admit, I do too have sympathy for why they couldn't have staggered the tree removal process. So I know that they've got ultimate governance, but you know, I think it is a legitimate question.
It is, because there's something like 345 exotic trees that they are wanting to sort of cut down, and 183 of them have been sort of categorised as a pest. And the main sort of thrust behind the protest has been that they want to sort of just stagger the process, which is very interesting, I think. However, go first.
Well, that's just on Owaidaka. So all eventually all the summits will have trees removed. Maungarei, Mount Wellington, in my electorate, they've all gone. They were using helicopters to remove it at very likely huge cost. So I do have sympathy too about a different kind of phasing in as an initiative that hasn't happened. It's just been straight out removal. It's a tough one because the authority does have the final call, but, you know.
Well, that being said, also, you know, as a replacement for that, 74,000 new native trees will be planted, and also even just at Owaidaka specifically, 13,000 will sort of replace them. So there is that to think about as well, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. And like anyone else, I would say this is a good thing, more planting the better. For lots of different reasons. I guess it's just the phasing and the harsh culling. You know, I think it would have been possibly more of a better stewardship approach to have staggered the tree removal process.
Now, before I let you go, Denise, I'd like to ask you, how good are you with spicy food?
This could be taken a couple of ways, but I think the older I get, the more spicier I'm getting.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I know, exactly. I used to be mild all the way and just, you know, gently does it. And now I'm like, no, I think I'm going to dial it up a bit. So I reckon I'm somewhere between medium and hot. I'm definitely not in the crazy, you know, burn your tongue and your eyes water kind of stage, but somewhere between medium and hot.
I'm going to have to disagree with you there, Denise. I love it when it gets sort of eye-wateringly hot. It makes me feel alive.
Oh,
I think.
Hardcore.
Thank you for the chat today. It's been very informative, and always it's been lovely to speak to you.
Yeah, you're welcome too.
See you later.
See ya.
The National Party's Denise Lee on 95BFM.